You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 553.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello once again to the mayor of Chicken Town.
Hello, everybody.
Filling in for Cornflake again.
Yes, as we get closer to the holiday season, you know, everybody gets busy. We all need a little time off, so.
Not me.
Yeah, not you. You're always working.
Nothing to do but make this stupid show every week.
Yeah, I let the chickens run things for a little while.
Chickens are in charge. Cornflake's off this week, and off we go. This will be a quick fill-in show.
Sure.
The holiday themed, nonetheless. We're still doing holiday talk. Of course, we went to a holiday event.
Yeah, that was fun. Many Kevins were involved.
This was a weird thing. We went to the Brattle Theater in Harvard Square, Cambridge, Massachusetts, for an event called Kevin Geeks Out About Christmas. And they weren't even talking about me.
No, although you do geek out about Christmas.
The whole other guy.
Yeah.
Apparently, this guy's been doing this sort of show for a while, completely off my radar. Kevin Marr.
Yeah, is it mostly New York where he performs?
I think he's Philadelphia-based, and yeah, he's done some stuff with our buddy Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion. And we went to this show because he hooked up with more friends of ours for this weird kind of holiday-themed series of weird little presentations.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of thing we like. But there were people that we didn't know. There was local author Faya Creed did a wonderful presentation about the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yes, one of the ghosts from A Christmas Carol, who's apparently in the original text, is...
Nobody can figure out what the Ghost of Christmas Past is supposed to look like, and she broke down all the various interpretations of that ghost over the years, the greatest version, of course, being from Magoo.
I think she rated that one second best, but it was gratifying to see it so high on the list.
It wasn't a perfect presentation, but it was very good. She almost got that right. Mm-hmm. And another Kevin was there who we did not know, who talked about the Krampus. And our friend Kevin Cafferty, guest of the Flopcast, Kevin was up there on stage with a fantastic presentation about Rankin-Bass Santa Claus, the various versions of Santa that appeared in all the old Rankin-Bass cartoons.
Yeah, that was, you know, obviously right up our alley.
We spend the whole year thinking about Rankin-Bass Santa Claus. And yeah, Kevin did a great job. Very, very funny presentation with video clips and such. And then Ken Reed, our friend Ken from TV Guidance Counselor.
Yes.
Also on this show discussing a bizarre holiday Christmas cartoon called Candy Claus.
That's one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Ken talking about Candy Claus and how it's the weirdest Christmas cartoon for years and years, and I never actually bothered to try to watch it. Now I know more about it than I really want to.
Yeah, that's...
Candy Claus, absolutely bizarre. It is around. You can YouTube it and see it, and you probably shouldn't, but now I know you really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, check out Candy Claus. Anyway, and Kevin himself, the Kevin of Kevin Geeks Out, did all kinds of bizarre, silly things and taught us about department store Santas and lots more.
Yeah, that was fun.
Fine, fine show. So I'm going to watch out for upcoming Kevin Geeks Out events. As it turns out, we had many connections to to this guy and very similar interests, obsessed as we are about Christmas cartoons, which is sort of what we're going to kick around today.
Yes.
I think inspired by, in this case, by, I just did a half marathon event last week, and I signed up for it because it was called the Frosty Half Marathon. A bunch of friends of mine from my little running group said, you know, let's all go down there. We'll do the Frosty Half Marathon together. And everybody who does it gets a Frosty hooded sweatshirt.
Yes.
And I thought, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run 13.1 miles because I want that shirt. And it's real Frosty. I'm wearing it right now. And it's the real Frosty.
Yeah.
This is the real guy from the Rankin-Bass cartoon, that the image that they put on the front of the shirt.
Yeah. Genuine looking, probably unlicensed Frosty.
I don't know if they had permission.
Is Frosty in the public domain by now? I don't know.
I didn't ask any questions. I just said, yeah, give me that shirt.
It's very nice.
And a medal. At the finish line, I was handed a Frosty half marathon medal, which also has the real Frosty on it.
And you've been wearing them ever since.
I'm going to wear that medal everywhere I go from now on. Look, I'm a winner of the Frosty. Thank you. So then following the Frosty half marathon, which was a lovely event, we figured time to watch Frosty. Got to get going.
Got to roll into our annual watching of the Christmas specials, so why not start with Frosty?
This is how we spend December, just drinking in all the bizarre old holiday cartoon specials. So yeah, inspired by the half marathon, started with Frosty and kept going. We saw more Frosty this year than I think we ever have before.
Yes.
So I thought, let's just talk through Frosty. So original Frosty the Snowman from Rankin-Bass, 1969,
mm-hmm.
One of the classics, one of the ones that they still show on TV every year. Network yeah. TV still shows Frosty. This was Paul Coker Jr. This yeah. was, I believe, his first time doing character design for Rankin-Bass.
Oh, wow. And it's instantly just so recognizable and iconic.
Yeah. And they just kept using
yeah.
him. And beyond that, he did so many of the Christmas and other holiday Rankin-Bass specials. That's Paul Coker from Mad Magazine. One thing that's fascinating, I think, to me about the old Rankin-Bass shows is how much of like old Hollywood they use, those old-timey stars
mm-hmm.
who we practically know only from the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials.
Yeah, our generation doesn't really, you know, maybe caught the tail end of their career, but this is where we probably first saw them.
Yeah, so all those guys, you know, Fred Astaire
mm-hmm.
and Burl Ives and so on, and there's several of them in Frosty,
yeah.
you know, starting with your narrator, your host was Jimmy Durante.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think for people our generation, and certainly younger, we don't know Jimmy Durante.
Like, no.
I'm vaguely aware of Jimmy Durante, but mostly I know him from Frosty. And Jimmy Durante was a vaudevillian star. He goes way back to like the 20s, I guess.
Wow.
And was a huge star.
Got one of those instantly recognizable voices.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That gravelly voice of
yes.
his. And was a comedian and singer and actor all those years for decades, and worked in radio
mm-hmm.
and TV and movies. And now these days it's, oh yeah, he's that little goofy looking cartoon dude from the beginning of Frosty. That's how he will be remembered by most of us.
Yep.
So I try to appreciate the careers these people had beyond Rankin-Bass as much as I can.
Sure.
And that voice extended beyond what he did and mm-hmm. beyond the Rankin-Bass cartoons, because that's one of those voices that gets mimicked in other cartoons. People
yeah.
will do a Jimmy Durante voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe one of the big ones is Augie Doggie and Doggie Daddy over at Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, sure.
You know, the father dog is doing Jimmy Durante.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cases like that. Billy DeWolf
mm-hmm.
is Professor Hinkle.
Yeah, I don't know that name off the top of my head.
Yeah, not a huge star, but another guy that had a long career in movies as like a supporting actor, character actor. And he had that goofy voice, that
yeah.
kind of whiny voice, and was very funny and worked for decades doing mm-hmm. that voice, being that kind of goofy character
yeah.
actor.
I don't particularly like his voice, but it's suitable for kind of the whiny villain that he is.
Yeah. And I think the way he'd like repeat busy, 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 busy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a thing that he did
in his other roles.
I believe that was a Billy D. Wolf thing. And then the other one was Jackie Vernon.
Yes.
Frosty was a comedian, Jackie Vernon. And he was a pretty well-known comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He did, you know, he'd appear on Ed Sullivan, I'm sure, and all those old shows back through the 50s, 60s, 70s. Nobody knows Jackie Vernon from anything
no.
but Frosty anymore. On the Gilbert Gottfried podcast,
mm-hmm.
where they obsess over old character actors and comedians and old Hollywood stuff, they used to talk about Jackie Vernon a lot
uh-huh.
on Gilbert's show. And Gilbert would do an impression of Jackie Vernon doing his stand-up act.
And as Frosty, he just kind of has that grown-up kid quality to his voice that's perfect for the character.
Oh, yeah, especially hearing some of the other people that voiced Frosty in the other shows that we're going to get to, you
yeah.
really appreciate how perfect Jackie Vernon was as Frosty. Now, you'll see June Foray's name in the credits,
yeah.
although you don't hear June Foray because her voices were replaced.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the original airing, I think they used June's voice as Karen, the little girl, you know,
yeah.
that goes to the North Pole, even though she's not wearing pants.
That would have really stood out, I think.
And June did Karen and some of the other characters as well, the other kids, I think. And then those were re-recorded by other people. But you still see June's
yeah.
name in the credits, which is weird.
That is weird. And of course, we love June and she got plenty of work, but it's
yeah. I mean, yeah, such a tiny blip in the voice career of June Foray, certainly. I saw her speak in San Diego once. I still cannot believe I got to see June in person once, which was incredible.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that chance. That's wonderful.
Paul Frees, we got to mention as
well. Oh, I love... I, again, know him only from mostly the Rankin Bass and occasional other animated shows, but his voice is just so distinctive.
So Paul Frees in Frosty, the original Frosty. He's the traffic cop that chokes on his whistle. He's Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
This is the year before Santa Claus is coming to town. So this is before Rankin Bass settled into Mickey Rooney as the definitive Rankin Bass Santa.
Mm-hmm.
So there were different versions of Santa still kicking around, as Kevin Cafferty taught us about last week on stage. But the Paul Frees version was very different, but excellent, very good.
Yeah, I would have liked to hear Paul Frees do a couple more appearances as Santa, although of course Mickey Rooney is the definitive Santa, and I love his performance.
So original Frosty, how does this rank for you among the classic Rankin-Bass cartoons? It's certainly considered one of the big ones, one of the classics. Is it one of your favorites?
You know what? It's not one of them. I wouldn't say it's
can't
one of my...
can't stand it.
It's not one of my top 4.5, because I do find Professor Hinkle really annoying. I do find just like the, you know, obviously, you know, these plots are not genius level, but the bad decisions made on the way up to taking Frosty to the North Pole. Of course, the girl shouldn't get in the freezer car. And of course, Frosty shouldn't go into the greenhouse with her to get her warmed up. I mean, just, you know, stay in your lane.
There's one character in this show, I think, who's not a complete idiot, and it's a rabbit.
Yes, Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus is the clear thinking, logical character among all of them.
Yeah, he's the one who gets Santa to come in and save the day.
Yeah. Definitely enjoy watching that goofy rabbit hopping around. Now, 7 years later, we got the sequel, Frosty's Winter Wonderland. 1976, Jimmy Durante's out, Andy Griffith's in.
Andy Griffith.
And now here's a case where, okay, at least like I know Andy Griffith quite well from other stuff.
Right.
Unlike most of the other host narrators.
Yeah. Although at the time I wouldn't have. I didn't watch any of the Andy Griffith show till I was an adult.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I was already growing up on reruns of the Andy Griffith show. But yeah, there's cartoon Andy Griffith, who looks rather odd in cartoon
form. Yeah.
Looks a little Tig Notaro, I think.
Oh, why? Wow. I wasn't looking for that, but now I'm going to have to go back and see it.
Yes.
I think I like this one better than the original.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I could see that. This is a good show.
Yeah.
And I think people that just watched the big top 2 or 3 Rankin-Bass cartoons have probably been overlooking this wrongly, because it's great. And it's another case where they took a song. Mm-hmm. Like, they really based the Frosty sequel not on the song Frosty the Snowman, but on Winter Wonderland.
Right.
Oddly. Very oddly. So, because this is the Bride of Frankenstein style sequel. It's a Bride of the Snowman. Frosty takes a wife is the plot.
Yeah, I love that. That phrasing is really funny.
Kids get back together and build Frosty a snow woman.
Yeah, but Karen's not in it.
Karen's out. Karen, as far as we know, is still up on her roof of her house freezing. Because remember, they dropped her off on the roof.
Oh, gosh.
At the end of the original cartoon. She might still be up there. It's that gang of kids again hanging around. We get that one kid when they're trying to name the new snow person. That one kid suggests cornflakes.
Yes.
So we have to acknowledge that here on the flop. In the original cartoon, that kid said oatmeal.
Wow.
Wanted to name the snowman oatmeal.
That kid is obsessed with cereal.
That's a weird kid. And yeah, in the sequel, cornflakes. But then they go with Crystal, of course. So here's Frosty's wife, Crystal, brought to life by the snowflowers.
Right. They've given up. They've tried hats. No hat would do it. But he makes a little bouquet of flowers for her, and that brings her to life.
Now, Hinkle is out. We don't see the magician
good
at all. But so the new antagonist is Jack Frost, of course.
And his voice.
Also Paul Frees.
Yay!
Because Paul Frees, the classic Paul Frees, is the deep Paul Frees voice. And that chuckling, that laugh, Fezziwig from Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol, the Burgermeister.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack Frost has that high kind of whiny voice.
Yeah, he takes it up a register.
Sure does.
But it's a... You know, definitely a classic Paul Frees performance.
It's great. And the other voice is Parson Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Day did the voice. And this was another kind of old-timey actor, singer guy who I'd hear that name when I was a kid once in a while.
Okay. You were more keyed into the old-timey performers.
I'm vaguely aware that this was a guy back then.
And then who was Crystal?
Oh, Crystal. Shelley Winters
is
Crystal. And Shelley Winters, I don't know too well at all. I mean, she was in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, I believe, as was Jimmy Durante and probably a bunch of these guys. I know the only other thing I really know her from besides these Frosty cartoons is Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, I've never seen that.
That's a cool movie. That would have been a couple of years before this, but it's, you know, the cruise ship turns upside down. It's a disaster movie.
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine's in that.
Yeah, yeah, Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
That's a cool movie. It's just a bunch of people trapped in an upside down cruise ship, including Frosty's wife, Crystal, Shelley Berman. Just fantastic voice work all around on all these shows, of course. It gets a little weird with the snow wedding. And now they get Parson Brown, just like in the song.
Yeah.
Right?
He says, I can't marry snow persons. I can only marry real persons. This would be an abomination.
It's an abomination against God and nature. All of this.
Right.
Certainly. And he's on board with the snow people getting married. He just feels he can't do it. We need a snow parson.
Yes. Which happily hands his Bible over to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Bible. They don't come out and say the Bible. They call it the good book. And that brings the snow parson to life. They dress up the snow parson. I feel that the real parson should have been standing there naked in that scene. It should have been clear that he'd handed over everything he was wearing to the snow parson. I think that it just would have been more realistic that way.
I guess he has, you know, several copies of the same outfit.
Just for situations just
for situations
like this.
Just like this.
The other interesting thing in this is the dream sequence, that kind of future vision sequence
of
married life with Frosty and Crystal. And we've discussed this on the Flopcast before many years ago. But we get the vision of here's Frosty and Crystal in the future with their snow kids.
Yes, three kids and a dog.
They've got three. There's two like little kids. There's a snow baby, I think, and a snow dog. That's their vision of future snow life.
Yes.
But is it really to be that way?
No.
And evidently not.
Now I'm regretting that we didn't watch Christmas in July as part of this.
Yeah, we skipped over one because the next cartoon involving Frosty is 1979. That's Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July, which we have not reviewed yet this year.
Right. That's one of my favorite. It's a theatrical length movie.
It's an hour and a half. This was like a real movie.
And it's like the Avengers, as Kevin Cafferty put it, because it's all the Rankin Bass characters come together and you see Frosty and Crystal and their kids in stop motion animation.
Yeah, it is fun to see Frosty in
3D.
in 3D in the Animagic stop motion for the first time. Yeah, they have two kids in this. Millie and Chili are the snow children. No snow dog as far as we know either, unless they left the dog at home.
Yeah.
It's long and crazy.
Ethel Merman's in it.
Ethel Merman as the lady that runs the circus. They all hook up with a circus.
Yep.
There's that winter evil dude, Winterbolt.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good classic winter-themed villain. Yeah.
That's Paul Frees, I believe.
Yeah. Once again. And he has rain snakes.
Oh, yeah. There's the little Weasley reindeer, Scratcher.
Yes.
Yeah. And it just goes on and on and on.
It does, but I was a sucker for it bringing, you know, all the characters together and kind of like addressing some continuity issues in the prior Rankin Bass specials.
Yeah, they're certainly all in on this being a shared universe, the RBU at this point, and with Frosty and Rudolph.
I'm going to start using that.
And Jack Frost.
In conversation. Yeah. There are actually two versions of Jack Frost, but they kind of meld him into one.
You get Jack Frost there. You get the whale with the clock in it from Rudolph Shiny New Year.
Yes.
Big Ben shows up, oddly. So a lot going on in this one. Christmas in July. Now that's the end of the real Rankin Bass Frosty shows. Because now we're jumping to post-classic Rankin Bass era, all the way up to 1992 for something called Frosty Returns. So this is Frosty still clearly based on the Paul Coker Rankin Bass design. Not much going on that has any similarity to the previous ones besides that.
No, and Bill Melendez is involved in it. So the kid characters, a lot of them look Peanuts-like.
Bill Melendez was the director of most of the classic Charlie Brown cartoons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, including the big three. He directed Christmas, Halloween, and Thanksgiving, and a bunch more over the decades. He directed this. And yeah, you can tell a lot of the kids are rather Charlie Brownish.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
I don't know how much direct input Lorne had into this. Probably not much. This was 1992. So this was like, you know, the Adam Sandler, David Spade era over at SNL. But Lorne's company produced this cartoon. And there are a bunch of SNL adjacent people involved in it. Jan Hooks does one of the voices. Andrea Martin does a voice. Brian Doyle Murray is the evil guy in this.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a selfish businessman.
Yeah, Brian Doyle Murray was on SNL for one season way back in the day. But that's Bill Murray's brother, Brian Doyle Murray. People know him from Get a Life with Chris Elliott and from Caddyshack.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that runs the Caddyshack
itself.
You know that voice as well when you hear it. John Goodman is the voice of Frosty in this. And I would say not great.
Not great
Frosty.
Yeah, not memorable. And not trying to sound like the classic Frosty.
Yeah, he went his own way. The narrator in this one is Jonathan Winters.
Yeah, I like that. And they even have like a little cartoon version of him, like the original two specials.
He's like a little tiny guy flying around. Little tiny Jonathan Winters.
I like that. I think that's probably my favorite thing about it. Because he's an appropriate old show business figure to be.
We know him best as Mirth.
Yes, Mirth from Mark and Mindy.
Mirth, the son of Mark and Mindy. Hatched out of a giant egg, fully grown. He had a sitcom at this time. I was watching a sitcom at this time called Davis Rules.
Huh.
It starred Randy Quaid and Jonathan Winters.
Okay.
That was right around this time, I believe. So he was keeping busy. The little girl that stars in this, the lead little girl, voiced by Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. And she was a kid.
Right.
This was, you know, almost a decade before The West Wing.
Right.
She was the daughter of the president on The West Wing. So she would have been like 10 years old, I think, 9, 10 years old. So I didn't realize she was a working child actor back then.
Yeah.
I think those are the big voices in this thing. The music is by Mark Mothersbaugh.
Yeah. And yet it's not very good.
It's not his best work. Mark from Devo, the mastermind of Devo, of course, who's done a ton of soundtrack work.
Yeah.
Over the years.
He did Rushmore. I clearly remember him from.
Yeah, he's done lots and lots of film and TV soundtrack work. Mm-hmm. And I love Devo. He's great. But yeah, the music does not really stand out in this, I think. The weirdest observation we had in watching this, and we've seen this a couple of times now, was one of the kids, one of Holly's friends, is a kid named Charles who looks and sounds a lot like Marcy from the Charlie Brown cartoons.
Yeah, the voice is very similar and has the same like round glasses.
It's the solid white glasses.
It's like a male version of Marcy.
Yeah.
Named Charles. Which is what Marcy calls Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. That's what Marcy, you know, tried to formalize.
Yes, Charles and Priscilla. I think Priscilla is Peppermint Patty.
So this is the Charlie Brown cartoon guy, Bill Melendez, making this show. And we have a very Marcy-ish kid named Charles, which we found interesting.
Yes.
So not the best, but it's such an interesting cast and such an interesting group of people associated with this show that it's certainly worth giving a look to and puzzling over the very Marcy-ish character as well. So check out Frosty Returns.
The other little thing I like about it is that Holly wants to do a magic show. So there's that connection to Professor Hinkle and the original show.
Right, another tenuous connection to the original, which even more so, though, when we jump ahead by another 13 years, there was one more Frosty cartoon, which we just saw for the first time earlier today.
You just told me about it today.
I just discovered it when I was reading up on all these Frosty cartoons. It was, there's another one that we've never seen. What do you know? From 2005, there's something called The Legend of Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, I'm afraid this one is not good.
This is so weird, but again, a very impressive cast of people involved, and what a weird show. I was going to say what a weird little show, but it's not little. It's way too long.
It's long, and if you watch it on YouTube like we did, there's an ad like every 4 minutes. A
lot of ad breaks, but it's over an hour long.
Yeah, that didn't...
Don't know what they were thinking. It has a couple of interesting connections to the original Frosty, though. Again, this is not Rankin Bass. This is a whole other production. But still, they're using the same Paul Coker design.
Mm-hmm.
Frosty has really looked the same through all of these, through all five of these cartoons, and on the sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now from the half marathon.
I think this is closer to the original character design than in Frosty Returns.
The voice once again, is kind of a letdown compared to Jackie Vernon, of course. The voice, I don't know how you pronounce this guy's last name, Bill Fagerbach or something like that. I know the guy. I know this actor from Coach.
Okay.
He was like the big dumb assistant coach.
I know exactly.
Coach.
What you mean. Yeah.
And he was also on How I Met Your Mother. He was Jason Segel's father.
How
I Met Your Mother, because he's a big, tall guy, you know. That's the voice of Frosty. He's done a lot of other cartoon voice work, I think.
Yeah, so he's kind of trying to do the big, dopey kid voice, but it just sounds wrong.
Yeah, but he's a voice in Frosty. The narrator is Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Oh, but in this case, they do not make him look like a cartoon Burt Reynolds.
It doesn't look like cartoon Burt Reynolds. That'd be good.
They should have
gone full Smokey and the Bandit or Boogie Nights. This is only like 8 years after Boogie Nights.
Oh.
Yeah, it could have been a Jack Horner production.
Yes. Well, it would have made it a little more interesting. Notably, not a musical. There aren't any songs.
Yeah, no singing in this.
Just the Frosty...
It's like
Snowman song
67 minutes long, and there's no songs in
it. Yeah. And style-wise, other than the Frosty design, it's very like 50s inspired.
Yeah, it had a very retro 50s design aesthetic to it, which was interesting. Strange. Cornflake and I saw Burt Reynolds at a convention.
Oh, yeah?
A few years after this. Yeah, we should have come armed with 1,000 questions about The Legend of Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah.
But... it's a very strange, long, complex story involving generations, and there's a comic book. I like seeing the comic book.
Yeah.
There's a Frosty comic book in it that tells the kid the story of what happened in the past.
Yeah, in theory, it's a neat idea, but it just...
It's an ambitious project, perhaps overly ambitious.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to pull off more than they really could. Oh, the weird flashbacks and the comic book, which leads to the big connection to the original, is the reveal that the kid, the kind of little kid starring in this thing, his grandfather evidently was Professor Hinkle, the magician from the original cartoon. So I like that anyway. It's like, look at that. There's Professor Hinkle. How about that?
And he's in possession of the hat.
You got the hat back.
Yeah. But denies that it's magical.
So a lot of... popular voice actors are in this as well in the supporting roles. Gray DeLisle, Candy Milo is in it, Tress McNeil, Tara Strong. So a lot of those names that you see in like every cartoon project.
Right.
They worked in this and they're all great.
From a newer generation of voice actors.
The school principal is kind of revealed as the evil enemy dude in this one. And I didn't recognize the voice, but that is someone that we are fans of, that we have gone to see do stand-up comedy live. That was Larry Miller. Larry Miller.
Now I can see it.
Yeah, as Principal Pankley. We love Larry Miller.
Yes. Yes, very good.
He taught us about the five levels of drinking.
I in retrospect, I like this better now knowing that's Larry Miller.
There you go. Larry Miller just saved Christmas. So that was 2005. So it's been 17 years, I guess.
It's about time for another one.
They're going to keep getting longer and weirder.
Well, maybe there's going to be one based on your half marathon.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really long.
Yeah. 13.1 miles of belly whopping for the Frosty Marathon.
That should have definitely been part of the course. You had to belly whop down a hill and skate a figure nine.
Yeah, and skate a figure nine, of course. Oh, man. Yeah, make it more of
a triathlon.
A triathlon, yes. Running, skate a figure nine, belly whopping.
Yeah.
That is the Frosty Triathlon. We're going to arrange that for next year. For this week, however, let's just stop whining about all the Frosty cartoons and get on out of here.
Okay.
Can you wrap up the show Cornflake style?
I think so. We are at flopcast.net. That's where you will find an archive of our shows and all our show notes. You can visit us at facebook.com/flopcast. We are at Flopcast on Twitter. And _Flopcast on Instagram. And music for the Flopcast is written and performed by Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness turned down the offer to do the music for Frosty Returns back in 92. We were too busy. We were out on the road, bringing rock to the kids. That's why they had to settle for Devo's Mark Mothersbaugh.
Oh, that's a shame.
And the rest is history. Say, Mayor of Chickentown, thanks for filling in for Cornflake this week.
Well, absolutely. And I'm always happy to talk about Rankin Bass Christmas specials.
We're so you people have no idea how obsessed we are with these Christmas cartoons. We literally communicate largely in quotes from Christmas specials. not just during the holidays,
yeah,
all year long.
It's a problem.
It's becoming a huge problem. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Hey, you know what you should do is dial up some of these goofy old Frosty shows, not just the Frosty shows. Watch every Christmas cartoon this year. You deserve it. Meanwhile, yes, of course, please be safe, be kind, be silly, be festive. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Drew Leiter here, inviting you to join Clitus Jacobs and I as we journey into a new era of the DC Universe, Dawn of the DC. Join us each week as we review comics, television, and movies. There might even be a surprise guest or two along the way. Thanks for your continued support, and we look forward to talking more DC with you. The Earth Station DCU podcast comes out weekly and is part of the ESO Network.
It's the secret after show. We got to wrap this up quick.
Okay.
It's almost time to make a pizza pie, I think. So get through a quick after show and then chomp on pizza, I think, is the plan. What Christmas special should we watch next? Have you thought this far ahead? We've burned through way more Frosty shows than we really should have.
Yeah. I had a hankering for Jack Frost.
Oh. Yeah, that's an interesting one. That one's long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long show. It kind of removed from the RBU at large.
It doesn't have Santa Claus in it at all.
No Santa. Very little Christmas.
Yeah, it kind of. Well, the narrator is the Groundhog.
Oh yeah,
you have Groundhog Day fame, so it's kind of a post Christmas special.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Christmas gift giving and whatnot in it, mm-hmm, but yeah, very special, very unusual, very different, certainly from the Jack Frost that we know from the Frosty cartoons.
Right,
the Jack Frost separate cartoon, totally different.
I like it. It's actually one of my favorites.
It's great, and yeah, narrated, hosted by a groundhog,
mm-hmm,
Buddy Hackett, as a groundhog. Do you think every show should be hosted by a groundhog?
Yes.
Yes. Or as your people call it, the whistle pig.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the T Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.